It's War Eagle Weekly every Thursday morning from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola. You can listen to ESPN Pensacola on 99.1 FM, 1330 AM, or on your ESPN Pensacola mobile app. And you can find this episode of War Eagle Weekly and all previous ones on our local podcast page at ESPNPensacola.com. This show is brought to you by Coach and Forest Steakhouse on Pine Forest Road across from Five Flag Speedway, and brought to you by my co-host here, Bill Clark. Bill, War Eagle, and good morning, sir.
War Eagle, happy new year. Glad to be here. I guess first we should say our thoughts and prayers are going out to all those affected by the terror attack in New Orleans.
Yes.
College sports is entertainment and a distraction and should absolutely take a back seat to anything like that. So I think them moving the game to today was the right move.
Right.
And everybody should be thinking about the people that lost their lives in that. So, but let's bring it back up. Happy to be here, War Eagle. It's the start of a new year. I'm excited about what this new year brings, not just in the football program, obviously in the basketball program,
yeah,
as well as other sports. I mean, we're defending national champs in men's golf, so we've got a lot to look forward to for 2025.
Right, and one of the main things that you and I have been starting War Eagle Weekly with these past couple weeks is transfer portal, some news about some of these acquisitions that Auburn football is already kind of getting a head start with in this offseason. And we do have confirmed some new names that are coming to Auburn, correct?
Absolutely. Auburn attacked the transfer portal right off the bat, went deep in it, stayed in it all the way to the end. Of course, there's one more transfer window coming up in the spring. There's still a few holes I'm pretty sure they're going to want to fill, maybe another offensive lineman and maybe a little bit on the defensive line. But Auburn really capitalized on the transfer portal this cycle. I mean, what we picked up, obviously, Jackson Arnold was the best quarterback pick out of the portal.
Yeah, looks like starting job's his to lose.
Yep, and we also picked up Ashton Daniels from Stanford. He's got the whole season of experience at Stanford. This kind of coming home party for him because he's a Georgia kid who went to Stanford. So now he's getting a little closer to home. Hopefully that affects his performance.
Yeah.
Because now he's going to be playing and
won't be as homesick now.
He'll be playing right in front of his family and friends. It's easy for them to travel and make the games. The big acquisition, two of them, came from Georgia Tech, and we had talked about that before when Auburn signed the safety out of Georgia Tech, Tay Seymour.
Right.
And I still believe to this day that the reason they went after him not was just because we needed the help at safety, was because his roommate is Eric Singleton Jr., who was Georgia Tech's leading receiver. And if you watch his performance in that Georgia Tech-Georgia game, he was the majority of their offense as far as receiving and touchdowns and yards after contact and that kind of stuff. Nice, big, physical receiver.
Yeah.
So Auburn scored, you know, a doubleheader right there. You know, we filled a spot at safety and we filled a big hole where KLS left with the wide receiver. And we still have the young kids that are staying with the program, the Cam Colemans,
That's a huge one to keep.
Yes, Malcolm Simmons. You know, they're staying. So, and they both of them got a lot of playing time this past season. So they already know what their role is in the program. But two of the other big acquisitions were offensive linemen. I mean, we got the offensive lineman Mason Murphy out of Southern Cal. We'd already talked about him blocking, protecting the blind side. For the quarterback, he played at Southern Cal, so he's got big time experience. And we also got a defensive line. We picked up a couple of acquisitions: Dallas Walker out of Western Kentucky, and he's an interior lineman. And we picked up a linebacker out of LSU, Xavier Akins. So, I mean, he's got SEC type playing time, so he should be able to just step right, you know, plug and play. Just step him right into the program and get him started, let him learn the defensive scheme here. He'll probably work his way into one of the captain's positions on the defense. Auburn usually likes to have the offensive captain be an interior linebacker, and that's what he is. He's an interior linebacker. We picked up a tight end, Preston Howard, out of Maryland. I don't know that much about him other than what I've read coming out of the transfer portal news.
Right.
He's considered one of the top tight ends that entered the transfer portal, so I think we made a big pickup there. The two really big holes in Auburn's performance this past season was special teams. Our place kicking was by Auburn standards, was really bad.
Yeah, hit or miss, to say.
if it was outside of 25, 30 yards, it was essentially a coin flip. And that's not a position that Auburn usually found themselves in. So we picked up a place kicker, Connor Gibbs, out of Southern Miss, and I did do a little digging on him. He's really good from about 42 yards in. He's, I think, at around 50-50 outside of 42 to 43 yards. But I think most place kickers in the college level, that's probably pretty average. We'll take average because what we had last year was not average.
Yeah, average for Auburn's great right now.
But, I mean, he obviously is plugging a hole that was a huge need for this whole past season. And you and I had already talked about the Aussie punter,
yes,
Hudson Kak, that we picked up out of Oklahoma State. And I told you about watching his videos that him and his friends put together as a little promo where he's, you know, kicking punts and into a 55-gallon barrel from about 30 yards.
You know, pinpoint.
I guess if you're a really good punter, that might be fairly easy to do when nobody's pressuring you.
Yeah, I don't know.
But, you know, his performance at Oklahoma State was pretty good. You know, he was considered one of the better punters in that conference. So, and we needed a punter. We had some punting issues. So the way we attacked the portal, the holes that we filled, the players that we brought in, I feel really, really good about. Especially Jackson Arnold and Eric Singleton. Because now we're, in my opinion, we're getting a better quarterback than Peyton Thorne was. Because he's a real, true dual threat quarterback. Peyton Thorne, when he had to run, he could run. He proved that. He had some good performances with his feet. But this kid, that is part of his repertoire. That's what made him a five-star recruit out of high school, was he's a true dual threat quarterback. And if he'd have had better receivers at Oklahoma, I think his overall stats would have been much better. But I think you and I discussed before that they were literally putting special teams folks on the field,
yeah,
at receiver at the end of the season.
Just to give them something.
Because they were decimated with injuries. I mean, they lost three of their top receivers in the first three games to injuries. So I have high expectations. And of course, with high expectations, your disappointments are bigger if you don't live up to them.
Yeah.
So you know, I'm smart enough to prepare myself to be disappointed if things don't live up to the expectations that I have. But I have real high expectations out of these portal pickups. I really think all of the things that we've done here are going to be a huge improvement to what we knew worked, and we can work out the problems that we had offensively. I mean, because we weren't finishing drives. We at the beginning of this season, we were turning the ball over.
Oh, man.
You know, five,
yeah, red zone turnovers.
Five interceptions in two of the first four games. You know, three and outs, negative plays, penalties. The first part of the season, we had a big problem with offensive penalties, false starts. You know, when you're struggling, you don't need to be putting yourself backwards and contributing to your own struggles.
Right.
So I see all of these things coming out good for Auburn as far as what we've been able to do in the portal. And the good thing about picking them up in this transfer portal is they get the whole spring practice. So
yeah,
they're not going to be brought into the program halfway into setting up for the beginning of the season. One of the interesting things out of the portal was our two quarterbacks that transferred out, Hank Brown and Walker White. I think Hank Brown went to Iowa. And
that might be a good grab for them.
Yeah.
Their offense typically struggles.
Yeah, Walker White committed to Baylor. That's an interesting setup because Baylor is the first game of next season. So
awkward.
Yeah. So, I mean, if he wins the starting job, you know, he's going to be – it would be the same as if Auburn had to open the season with Oregon a couple of seasons ago when Bo Nix transferred out.
Yeah.
You know, it's it could be fun. It will make for a lot of discussion if Walker White wins the starting job there because, you know, that's going to be all people are going to talk about for the first 2 weeks before the season starts.
Yeah, it's a lot of implications.
Yeah, we're playing our former quarterback that was a highly recruited quarterback at Auburn, and he had a bright path, but I don't blame him. You know, he had Hank in front of him already from this past season, and you bring in two quarterbacks that already have big-time playing experience at the same level.
He was underhanded, yeah.
So he was already looking at the writing on the wall. He's at a minimum, he's going to be number three. He might be number four. Plus, you got Deuce Knight coming in and the recruiting class behind you that will most likely get redshirted. But, you know, he was the highest recruited quarterback, the flip we got from Notre Dame. You know, that. So I understand why they entered the transfer portal, and I do know, you know, based on the things that I've been reading and paying attention to this past week, he made a comment going into the program when he signed with Baylor saying that one of the reasons he likes the opportunity to go to Baylor was he saw more opportunity in quarterback development. Well, some of the Auburn folks took that to mean
personally, yeah.
Well, they took it as a slight, and I don't really think he meant it that way. I think he was the question that he was answering was what are the top three things that brought you to Baylor out of the transfer portal, and that was one of his top three things was he saw more quarterback development. Well, he probably saw more quarterback development for him.
Yeah,
but that doesn't mean that Auburn has a quarterback development problem, but. A lot of discussion was generated that's what he meant, and I really don't think that's what he meant. So I took all of that with a grain of salt. You know, he's an 18-year-old kid. He didn't really think about how his words could be twisted to mean something out of context from what the answer to the question was.
Yeah.
And it was probably a right-off-the-top-of-the-head answer. And he's probably correct for him. He probably has more opportunity to develop as a quarterback in a program like Baylor than he did at Auburn once he saw the writing on the wall, the Deuce Knight pickup and then the two quarterbacks out of the portal. You know, that his whole expectation for what he was expecting Auburn to do with him completely changed.
Yeah.
So, you know, I kind of think that's probably where that comment came from, and that was probably what was going on inside of his head. So I didn't really put a whole lot of stock in him sliding the Auburn program because I really don't think that's what he did.
I agree with you. I think he gave a broad answer. As you said, he was kind of on the spot. And my mind went down the same route as yours of, okay, Auburn's got a very deep quarterback room right now, and they're going to have an even deeper one going forward. So maybe Baylor is a better opportunity for him as far as developing his career as a college quarterback. I don't think he was trying to say, yeah, Auburn can't make a QB to save their lives. I don't think he was trying to say anything like that. It was just, you know, a kid giving an answer to the media, and people read too much into it. Just past 10:15 here, you're listening to War Eagle Weekly every Thursday morning from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola, brought to you by Coach and Forest Steakhouse and our very own Bill Clark. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Rachel with Coach and Forest Steakhouse. For 45 years, we've been an owned and operated three-generation family business. We welcome every guest that walks through our doors as an old friend. We're open from 5 to 9 on Wednesday and Thursday, and from 4:30 to 10 on Fridays and Saturdays. Saddle up to our bar and get a half-pound burger with fries and a beer for just $11.95 every day before 6:30. This offer is only available in the bar and cannot be combined with any other coupons, discounts, or specials. Coach and Forest Steakhouse on Pine Forest Road across the street from the Speedway.
Hi, I'm Bill Clark, host of War Eagle Weekly here on ESPN Radio. Now that college football regular season has come to a close, tune into War Eagle Weekly Thursdays from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. for the latest on Auburn basketball, as well as other Tiger sports-related news and analysis. My co-host, Austin Price, and I will bring you up to date on the latest Auburn basketball results and preview upcoming games. Tune into War Eagle Weekly every Thursday, 10 to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola. War Eagle.
Escape to the Pony Gentlemen's Club at 500 East Gregory Street.
The Pony Gentlemen's Club.
Enjoy their extended happy hour and enticing drink specials from noon to 7, Monday through Saturday. The doors open at 7 p.m. on Sundays. Show a local event ticket for your complimentary entry and savor exclusive signature cocktails. Elevate your night, where sophistication meets indulgence. The Pony Gentlemen's Club.
With Progressive's Name Your Price tool, you get coverage options based on how much you want to pay for car insurance. And then you decide how to spend the rest of your money, because you're in charge. Today, you're going to pay down your credit card bill. But you decide when you'll pay it.
Before the due date, so those interest charges don't get you.
But you decide if you pay it in full.
But you definitely should, because, again, interest charges.
With Progressive's Name Your Price tool, we'll help you find coverage at a fair price. And then you're in charge. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Not available in all states. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Texting enrolls you into reoccurring automated text messages. Consent not required to purchase. Message and data rates may apply.
Hey, Dan, how you doing? Haven't seen you around the gym for a while.
Yeah, I've really fallen off. Since I turned 40, I just don't get the results I used to get.
Could be lower testosterone.
Lower T?
Yeah, I went through it a while back. Once you hit 40, your body has less free testosterone. I got Nugenix Total T, and it's made a huge difference for me.
I've seen that ad on TV. Is it for real?
Oh, yeah. The key ingredient is something called Testnor, which helps boost free and total testosterone levels to help you trim up and stay lean.
And it's made a difference for you?
Man, I feel like I'm in my 20s again. At work, in the gym, and in the bedroom.
Are they still giving out complimentary bottles for people to try it for themselves?
Yeah, you just need to send them a text.
Text EQUAL to 321-321 right now for your complimentary bottle of Nugenix Total T, the number one selling testosterone booster at GNC. Plus, text now and we'll include a bottle of Nugenix Thermo, our most powerful fat incinerator ever, to help you get back into shape fast, absolutely free. Text EQUAL to 321-321. That's EQUAL to 321-321.
Hey, if you own or manage a business in the greater Pensacola area, how would you like to get your business in front of men ages 25 to 54? Well, that's who listens to ESPN Pensacola.
Hey!
Okay, men ages 25 to 54 and Sarah.
Excuse me?
And Jill. Whether it be a radio ad with ESPN Pensacola or online through ADX Digital, we can come up with the best solutions for you. Get in front of men ages 25 to 54 and Sarah and Jill.
Woohoo! Yeah!
Just go to our website, ESPNPensacola.com, click on the sales opportunity.
Greeny, weekdays at 10, right after The Glass Half Full with Jordan Glass on ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM, 99.1 FM.
It's War Eagle Weekly every Thursday morning from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola. You can listen to us on 99.1 FM, 1330 a.m. or on your ESPN Pensacola mobile app. This broadcast is brought to you by Coaching Four Steakhouse. You can find them on Pine Forest Road across from Five Flags Speedway. Saddle up to the bar and get a half-pound burger with fries and a beer for just $11.95 every day before 6:30. And our other sponsor, Bill Clark. Bill, when we left off, we were talking about some of this transfer portal stuff with Auburn football, and the future is just really looking bright. You even mentioned, you said, I didn't mean to monopolize that segment there. But no, I told you, the more we have to talk about, the better, and that's really the case with Auburn basketball here. A lot to go off of with not just who you just now beat, but also who is upcoming. We'll go ahead and get this out of the way. Earlier this week, you took on Monmouth. They're 2-11 on the season today. Obviously not a great team. Auburn proved that to us, winning 87-58 over the Hawks.
Yeah, watching that game, when it started, Auburn looked like they were playing not to lose.
Yeah,
So Monmouth and Auburn, they exchanged the lead off and on through about the first 8.5 minutes of the game. And Monmouth looked good on shooting in the first part of that first half. I mean, they were hitting threes.
Right.
They were driving to the basket and scoring. And Auburn just didn't look quite as aggressive defensively as they had all season. And they did start a different lineup. We did have Janiah Broome and Dylan Cardwell and Denver Jones on the floor to start. But we added Chad Baker Mazzara and Miles Kelly, which is not the normal five starters that would normally start an Auburn game. I think they were kind of trying something a little different.
Just experimenting. Yeah, room for error.
But like I've said before, Auburn, the top 10 players on Auburn's roster could play any starting lineup on anybody else's roster. So we have essentially two starting rosters out of the top 10 players that we have. Janiah Broom, obviously that injury, he's over the injury, whatever it was. he proved that last time in the game before this one.
Against Purdue.
And had a great game. The great thing about this game was at about that 8.5 minute mark, Chad Baker Mazzara got fed an alley-oop and did a backwards dunk. And when he did that, the whole arena erupted. And it was like that moment changed the momentum in the whole atmosphere in the arena. And Auburn went on, I believe, an 11-0 run and never really looked back from there. There were a lot of highlight reel type performances in that game. You had the backwards dunk, you had a windmill dunk, you had monster blocks by both Cardwell and Broom that were just, you know, highlight reel, ESPN highlight reel type stuff. Janiah Broom had another double-double. Big surprise there. But Dylan Cardwell.
Par for the course.
Dylan Cardwell had a double-double. He had 12 points, 11 rebounds, and one assist. We had nine players that did double-digit minutes on the floor. So nobody dominated time on the court out of the entire roster. The two highest ones was Pettiford had 27 minutes, and Denver Jones had 25 minutes. Arguably the number one player in NCAA, Janiah Broom, he was on the floor for 22 minutes and was able to get a double-double in 22 minutes.
Yeah, pretty efficient game from him.
Yeah, Auburn's aggressiveness on defense, like I said, when that first 7 or 8 minutes of the game, it kind of looked like they were dialing it back just a little bit. Once the momentum changed and they went back to playing real aggressive defense, they really turned it on. Auburn had 30 defensive rebounds, 7 blocks, 8 steals, and only 15 personal fouls. So you and I had discussed previously a couple episodes ago that what I thought Auburn needed to do with this defense was keep the defense aggression at the level it's at. Stay aggressive on the defense. Find a way to clean up the personal fouls, and they obviously did, because that's a much lower number of personal fouls than what they have had. And they're going to need to keep that. They're going to need to keep improving on that, because now that we're in league play, it's going to get a whole lot tougher. Plus, we're going to be playing two games a week. The spread between games is narrowing.
Yeah.
And then, of course, we're going to have the SEC tournament at the end of league play. So, but I was – it was a fun game to watch. Chaney Johnson, I think he was 4 of 6 from three-pointers.
Wow.
He was just on fire. Janiah Broom is just unstoppable. You get him in the paint underneath the basket, whether it's defensively or offensively, he's a beast.
Yeah, 40 points in the paint for Auburn to just 20 for Monmouth.
And he makes it look effortless sometimes against guys that are really good basketball players on the other team.
Yep.
He just makes it he is definitely, in my opinion, heads and shoulders above anybody else in the NCAA defensively and offensively as a big forward. I mean, he is definitely the dominant player in the league. Dylan Cardwell, and you and I have talked about this before, he is not only a good player, he's a great cheerleader. He gets the crowd
gets the team hyped, gets the fans hyped.
And he didn't disappoint this past week. You know, all the big highlight reel type plays. He's the first one out there on the court jumping up and down and riling up the crowd, getting everybody involved. And it's so much fun to watch these players. They're playing unselfish basketball.
Yeah.
And that's the proof of that is in how many players had double-digit minutes on the court. They're spreading the ball around. They're taking the high-percentage stuff. They're very aggressive on defense. seven steals? Eight steals? Eight steals.
Yes, eight steals, seven blocks.
Three of those steals were just jumping right out in the passing lane in for the other team and just taking the ball away from them.
Yeah.
Either tipping it away and tipping it to one of your guys or tipping it over to the other end of the court and then setting up an alley-oop or a big easy layup. We turned those steals into points. And you and I had discussed before we went on the air how important those 30 defensive rebounds are. That's 30 possession changes in an hour-long basketball game. That's 30 possessions that we flipped and took advantage of. I'm sure we didn't score on all 30 of them.
Oh no.
But I mean, even if you just score on 50% of them, that's a huge momentum changer, and that's a product of Bruce Pearl's philosophy defensively with the basketball program. Keep the defensive pressure up. I mean, challenge their inbounds. Even after a score, challenge their inbound. Make them use up some clock trying to get to their side of the court. You know, instead of having a 30-second shot clock that's unchallenged, you challenge them. Now they're already at the 22 to 20-second shot clock range by the time they get on the offensive side of the court.
Right.
So those are the kind of things that make this program work the way it is. This is the best Auburn basketball team I've ever seen. 2019, we had a great team, went to the Final Four, but this team just has it. Whatever that is, they have it. They're all playing at a very high level. We've got 10 players that can all play together at a very high level, and they're plug and play. They can swap in and out. One gets in foul trouble, bring him off, and you essentially replacing him with a carbon copy. So it's going to be fun. This Monmouth game, like I said, the first 8 minutes or so didn't look like the typical Auburn Tigers basketball program for this year. They looked like they were waiting on opportunities to happen instead of creating them. And then after that, when they flipped the momentum and went on that run, I mean, we ended up being up 41-30 at the half. No, I'm sorry, 46-28 at the half, and then outscored them 41-30 in the second half. And that includes the last 5 minutes of the game having your scout team out there. And that's another thing I've said more than once I love about Bruce Pearl. He gives those kids a chance to get out there on the court and play for Auburn.
Yeah.
Because they've earned it.
And that's what games like Monmouth are for when you take over.
They bust their butts in practice getting these big guys ready to come out there and play. And when we get out to a lead like that and he can get them out there and let them put the Auburn jersey on, get on the court in front of the home fans and play. You can't say enough about that. There's so many programs out there that would probably never consider putting their scout team out there. But he wants them. They're part of the program. He wants them to reap the benefits of being part of this program.
Yeah. And, you know, I got to tell you, I'm looking at Monmouth, or how you faced them, rather. As you said, you came out with a different lineup. You talked about Monmouth. You told me the way you described it before we went live this morning, Bill, was, okay, well, they were taking a lot of shots, but also kind of like high percentage shots. It kind of reminds me of when you see a little guy like in football, kind of give you a bit of a scare early, but they're kind of coming out with some trick plays. We're seeing like a flea flicker or two, and it's like the team that's favored is just kind of coasting early. You're kind of in autopilot early in the game. It kind of reminded me of that when Monmouth was, you know, pulling no punches and Auburn is just kind of trying to see, okay, what can we work with here? If that's the only reason you have momentum in the game early, I'm not really worried about it. Then you have Auburn with the reverse dunk, as you mentioned, just the crowd going wild, having a huge score streak after that. Auburn woke up, they took over. And yeah, this was a phenomenal game. I'm glad that Bruce Pearl does do that, gives these guys an opportunity when you take advantage of opponents like this, because you never know when you're going to need them. You never know when you're going to need that kind of talent. And it's already past 10:30, so we're going to take a quick break here. But when we come back, we're going to be talking about how this is a pretty cutthroat SEC slate that that you have, and it starts early. Your first couple of opponents are Missouri and Texas, and we'll get into deeper detail on what exactly it's going to take to beat both of them. I know Missouri's kind of tough. We talked about a ball hog defense. We talked about an aggressive one. Well, Missouri has a very similar one, and we'll get into the specifics of just how aggressive it is in just a moment. But until then, you're listening to War Eagle Weekly every Thursday morning from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola, brought to you by Bill Clark and Coach and Four Steakhouse.
Hi, I'm Bill Clark, host of War Eagle Weekly here on ESPN Radio. Now that college football regular season has come to a close, tune into War Eagle Weekly Thursdays from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. for the latest on Auburn basketball, as well as other Tiger sports-related news and analysis. My co-host, Austin Price, and I will bring you up to date on the latest Auburn basketball results and preview upcoming games. Tune into War Eagle Weekly every Thursday, 10 to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola. War Eagle.
Hi, I'm Rachel with Coach and Four Steakhouse. For 45 years, we've been an owned and operated three-generation family business. We welcome every guest that walks through our doors as an old friend. We're open from 5 to 9 on Wednesday and Thursday, and from 4:30 to 10 on Fridays and Saturdays. Saddle up to our bar and get a half-pound burger with fries and a beer for just $11.95 every day before 6:30. This offer is only available in the bar and cannot be combined with any other coupons, discounts, or specials. Coach and Four Steakhouse, on Pine Forest Road across the street from the Speedway.
When the power goes out, your business can't afford downtime. Generator Source in Pensacola keeps your operations running, no matter the weather. From industrial generators to commercial backup systems, they offer the most trusted brands, plus expert installation and 24/7 support. Keep your factory, office, or restaurant powered, even when the grid can't deliver. Visit them online today at GeneratorSource.com and be ready. Rain or shine, Generator Source, powering Pensacola's businesses.
$5,000. That's the average amount of money people in the U.S. are now spending on gas in a year. $5,000. That's crazy. If you drive, you have to download Upside, the free app that gives you cash back every time you get gas. That's right. You can earn real cash back with Upside just by buying the gas you're already buying. You can literally start earning cash back today.
I use Upside every time I fill up, and I've already made around $200, $300.
You're putting gas in your car anyway. Why not get real cash back? If you like free money, download Upside.
I'm saving the cash I earn from using Upside to help pay for a vacation later this year.
Download the free Upside app now to earn cash back every time you buy gas. Use promo code EXIT25 to get an extra 25 cents per gallon on your first tank. You can cash out anytime right to your bank, PayPal, or a gift card for Amazon and other brands. Just download the free Upside app and use promo code EXIT25 for a 25 cents per gallon bonus on your first tank. That's code EXIT25 for a 25 cents per gallon bonus.
My favorite thing about music is it's reliable. It's always there.
And it just helps me cheer up other people.
There's nothing to worry about when you do music. You're just having fun.
When I'm playing it, I'm like, wow, this is me.
And the sound just increases around you, and you just become immersed in it. You become one with it.
When you play music, you are playing life.
Whatever music means to you, just play.
Brought to you by the NAMM Foundation.
The Rich Eisen Show, weekdays 11 to 2, right before the Paul Feinbaum Show on ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM, 99.1 FM.
It's War Eagle Weekly every Thursday morning from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola. Brought to you by Coach of Four Steakhouse. You can find them on Pine Forest Road across from Five Flags Speedway. Austin Price and Bill Clark here in the studio with you. And speaking of Bill Clark, he's our other show sponsor. Very appreciative for that. Bill, when we left off, we were talking about Auburn men's basketball kind of putting belt to behind when it comes to the huge win over Monmouth. What was the score here? 87-58. Very impressive there by the Tigers. And now, speaking of Tigers, they've got a pretty hefty SEC slate that gets started rather early with Missouri, followed by a trip to Texas. So the SEC is not going to go easy on Albie here. What do you think it's going to take to win some of these games?
Continue doing what you're doing. Play aggressive.
Keep
defense.
Being great.
Yeah. Well, keep everybody involved in the game. Keep passing the ball, giving everybody an opportunity. Keep up the aggressiveness in the defense.
Yeah.
If you can keep doing, blocks and steals at the rate you're going, defensively shouldn't have too much to worry about. You got to stay healthy. I think that's going to be the real key to the rest of the season. Keep everybody healthy. We got 10 guys that we can rotate in and out as we need. So we do have the ability to fill a vacancy if one occurs because of a injury. But the big thing is just don't change the way you're playing. Play exactly the way you're playing now. It's just a level of competition is about to go up because there's so many ranked teams in the SEC.
Yeah.
And the frequency of games is going to narrow too. Not so much downtime between games. Excuse me. I mean, we play this Saturday. Missouri comes to Auburn. It's a early afternoon game, 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Good thing is it's a home game. And like you said, Missouri's got a good defense. They got a real aggressive defense. So this is going to be two defenses that probably match up about the same way with each other.
It looks like it.
They're stealing a lot of balls. They're blocking a lot of shots. They're putting a lot of pressure on people, making you run, get down to 4 or 5 seconds left on the shot clock and have to take a low percentage shot. I don't know what their rebound rate is. I think we have better rebounders. Cardwell and Broom are probably a much better defensive rebounders.
Yeah, y'all are hard to eclipse in that regard.
But we're going on this this kind of flow where we're playing a Saturday game and a Tuesday game, and then a Saturday game and a Tuesday game. So the Tuesday games are usually early in the evening, so you don't have to worry about it being a daytime thing where you have to take off from work to watch it. You can just go home, pop open your whatever beverage you like to drink, and enjoy the game. The Missouri game, I haven't seen the line on it. I'm pretty sure we're probably a double-digit favorite, probably around 12 or 13.
I would assume. Because, I mean, Missouri, Bill, I was telling you this before we went live. The main thing I noticed about Missouri and Texas both, but we'll get more onto Longhorns in a moment, Mizzou is good. They are not great. Auburn is a great team. Missouri, I'm glad that you mentioned their defense, very capitalistic defense, especially in regards to steals. They've got 134 on the season as a team. Two players stand out. Tamar Bates, he's got 24. Anthony Robinson II has 30. Looking at those two, they're going to be tough. They've got a win over Kansas from earlier in the year, so the team can obviously go toe-to-toe with some bigger boys. So I think Mizzou is going to be difficult in that regard, but we're talking 40 minutes of game time here. Auburn is firing on all cylinders. I would have to assume Auburn has a hefty edge. And we can get specifics on what exactly that point spread is. But I'll pull that up in just a moment. But, yes, I have to assume this is Auburn's to lose.
Yeah, Auburn is averaging about 44 to 45% field goal percentage. The big thing is we're averaging over 75% in free throws, especially with Chad Baker-Mazar. He's almost 100%. If he gets to the line, he's going to sink the ball.
You're right.
So that's the thing. I think what we're going to see in this game is Auburn get the ball to Chad Baker-Mazar more often, just because with their aggressiveness on defense, create the opportunity for them to foul him, send him to the line. And if we can do that and put them in foul trouble early, take advantage of their aggressiveness, put them in foul trouble.
Yeah.
Get our good shooters to the line. Then I think that's going to be the difference in the game, because I think defensively they match up pretty well against each other. It's the offenses that are different. Auburn has a much better offense. We have bigger guys that can get in the paint and score. And we have guys that are obviously having a great time this year shooting three-pointers. Pettiford and Miles Kelly just lit it up with three-pointers the past couple of games. They've been on fire. If we can keep that kind of thing going, then I'm not worried too much about Missouri.
You said, especially with them having to come
to town. We got to take their strength and turn it into a weakness, and I think we have the program that can do that.
I think that's a good way to put it. I mean, both very physical defenses, as you said, and we've talked about Auburn's foul trouble, but if we've learned anything, it's that when you play a ball-hogging defense like that, when you run that way, you're going to have some fouls, and if you can exploit that from Missouri, that would just be phenomenal. You're listening to War Eagle Weekly every Thursday morning from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola. Austin Price and Bill Clark here in the studio with you. And, Bill, I pulled up the game right here on ESPN. Do not see a point spread currently According to the matchup predictor, though, which is brought to you by ESPN Analytics, Auburn has a 93% chance to win currently. So I can only imagine Auburn is expected to win by double digits. Yeah, I have it being a double-digit game.
Yeah, I'm sure a lot of that is the fact that it's a home game for Auburn. So
yeah, that probably goes a long way.
Our program, we do feed off the crowd. Of course, we feed into the crowd, too, with Dylan Cardwell and the way everybody interacts with the crowd and the fans. We're drawing full arenas everywhere we go, which is cool. Auburn never used to do that.
Well, and also speaking of the importance of home court advantage, I'm looking at Auburn and Texas here, and yeah, I thought Texas was all the less proven than Missouri. Their defense seems to be all the less capitalistic. That was the word I used earlier, and with you going to Austin to take on the Longhorns, you've only got a 66% chance, according to those same ESPN analytics. But I think you are going to – here's my take for you right now, Bill. I think Auburn goes to Texas, and they win by more than however much they beat Missouri by. I think they're both double-digit wins for Auburn. But I don't buy Texas at all. They played Ohio State and UConn. Those were a couple of their biggest opponents. And I think UConn was their biggest, and they lost that game by double digits. They've kind of fed on the weak here. So I see Auburn really taking advantage of the Longhorns.
Yeah, I guess so far our only common opponent is the Ohio State matchup.
Right. You had a common opponent with Missouri. You both played Memphis, and Missouri lost to Memphis. You beat up on them. So when it comes to common foes for both of these teams, yeah, Auburn's sitting quite pretty.
Yeah, I'm not – like you say, I'm not too worried about the Texas matchup. The numbers there are probably representative of it being a home game for Texas.
That's
so,
got to be.
So they're getting something out of the analytics for that. But they definitely don't have the defense that Missouri has. I just don't know. I don't see where they match up well with Auburn. Defensively or offensively.
They don't. As I said, Missouri, and it sounds like I'm being mean, but Missouri's decent. But, yeah, Texas is Missouri, all the less proven and all the less impressive of a defensive effort. That is why I look at Texas and think they don't have a chance. But, you know, hey, what do I know, right? Maybe Auburn beats up on Missouri, makes an example out of them, and then Texas in the Moody Center catches them lacking. Maybe. It could happen. I just don't think it will.
Yeah, anybody can lay an egg. I mean, that obviously happens in this league.
And it's good, and it's all the more bound to happen when we're talking about a very deep conference slate here.
Well, it that's when it's most likely to happen is when you're in conference play.
Yes.
You're either looking ahead or you're licking your wounds from a previous loss. So, but I see these next two games being Auburn wins by double digits. The matchup against Missouri is a more competitive matchup, in my opinion, than it is against Texas.
I agree 100%.
Simply because of Missouri's defense.
Yeah, I mean, man, 134 steals. That is just it sounds like you need to be in jail for larceny or something. It's pretty impressive.
Yeah, you would think a team with that kind of defensive performance would have a better record. And
yeah, both teams 11-2.
Yeah, that's I would think Missouri with that kind of defensive effort, that tells me that they're either not shooting well from the line when they're at the foul line, or they're taking low percentage shots offensively.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure how those matchups are going to look, but we'll find out Tuesday.
Well, and I'll give Missouri credit. They, unlike Texas, they have not been like truly outclassed as much as the Longhorns have. Missouri lost to Memphis. It may have been their season opener, just like Texas losing to Ohio State. I want to say that may have been a season opening game as well. But they lost to Illinois. Well, Illinois is a good team, good program. And they lost to Illinois by like 3 points. So it's not like Missouri is just out of their element against some of these guys. But the more teams you lose to when they're some of your toughest competition, it establishes a clear ceiling. It's like what we saw, and we'll touch more on the college football playoff in a moment, but it's like what we saw with Indiana Notre Dame. That was the main reason I had the Irish beating the Hoosiers, because Indiana, when they got beat up by Ohio State, they showed a clear ceiling, and Notre Dame capitalized on it. I think Auburn's going to do the same with these guys.
Yeah, I agree with that. Their ceiling is not much higher than Auburn's floor, and Auburn's ceiling
You've said that before, yeah.
Auburn's ceiling is much higher. The next couple of matchups after that, though, are the ones that, of course, we're going to be able to talk about those in the upcoming weeks.
Right.
But then we get into a lot of the ranked opponents within the conference. I mean, we've got Mississippi State coming to Auburn, and they're ranked 17. They're a good program. And then, obviously, the big matchup is going to be on January the 25th, Auburn, Tennessee. And
yeah.
it's a home game for Auburn. So, I am excited about that date coming so we can talk about that game.
And something that just kind of seems like a bit of a trap game for you, between that ranked Mississippi State game and, of course, hosting the number one Tennessee Volunteers, you've got a road trip to Georgia. I mean, so it's games like that that can sneak up on you as well. As you said, as we get further throughout January and we approach those games, we'll touch on them in deeper detail.
Yeah, you don't want to overlook South Carolina either.
Yeah, South Carolina.
That's a home game for them. So.
Right. And South Carolina is known for having a fan base that's kind of sneaky good. You really wouldn't expect South Carolina to be that, you know, pounding of a fan base, but they are. And they're a good program. I want to say they made the bracket last year. Were they a 6 or an 11? They were one of those two because I remember them in the first round against Oregon. Yeah. They were one of those. Doesn't matter. Bottom line is they were a tournament team last year. Speaking of ranked SEC teams, we'll know more about Texas after this weekend. On Saturday, they play a ranked Texas A&M in College Station. If you can go on the road to a ranked rival and hold your own, I'm not even asking you to win. If you can just hold your own, maybe that'll show us that – who knows? Maybe Texas isn't as fake as I've been making them out to be for the last 7 minutes.
Yeah, if they can keep it to like a two-possession game,
yeah,
that would be a great performance for them, especially on the road at A&M.
All righty, 10:48 here. You're listening to War Eagle Weekly every Thursday from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola. Austin Price, Bill Clark here with you. Bill, I'm just going to ask you just very quick thoughts because we're going to give score predictions in our last segment, which will include to this afternoon's game. But college football playoff quarterfinals. We saw Arizona State go toe-to-toe with Texas, and we saw Oregon get, for the lack of a better word, mollywopped by Ohio State. And, of course, before both of those, we saw Boise State just kind of run out of gas against the Penn State Nittany Lions. Anything stand out to you in those games?
Boise State poured their guts out. It just wasn't enough.
Yeah, great story, great team.
Yeah,
Penn State's just really physical.
The Texas game going to overtime.
Man, that was phenomenal.
Yeah, that was. That was a fun game to watch.
Arizona State silenced their doubters, that's for sure.
Yeah, that kid for Arizona State just – he had nothing left.
Cam Scataboo, yeah, gave everything he had.
They were consistently picking him up off the ground at the end of the game because he was leaving everything he had on the field. He played a great game.
And both teams had opportunities to win that one.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Someone just – it seemed like they both didn't want to, but someone eventually had to.
Special teams. Like I talked about, Auburn plugging holes on special teams. Texas special teams just about cost them that game.
And that kicker's last name is Auburn, ironically enough. And then you told me this before we went live, Oregon and Ohio State. Oregon, I had them losing, but by 21, being down 34-0?
I had Oregon winning just because they have so much speed.
Yeah.
And they were undefeated. But Ohio State did to Oregon – what they did to Tennessee. They came out on fire.
Yeah.
And
came out early.
And came out and scored early and often and put them defensively on their heels. And they just couldn't recover. It was almost just like watching the Tennessee game. They get behind by 3 scores and then it's so hard to play catch up with somebody that's as well matched up as those two teams were.
Right.
So it created a deficit they just couldn't overcome. So what was a 20-point difference, 41-21?
Yes.
That early performance set the tone, and Oregon just had nothing for them. They couldn't answer quick enough and often enough to make up that deficit.
I know it's a generic term in sports, and it's way overused, but it's true. Ohio State right now looks like the most complete team in the playoff. The only team we haven't seen play yet in the bracket is Georgia. We will see them play this afternoon. That kickoff is set for 3:00. And we will give our score predictions on that, of course, along with some of our score predictions for Auburn men's basketball here with them having 2 games before next Thursday. But that'll be coming up after the break. Until then, you're listening to War Eagle Weekly every Thursday morning from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola. Brought to you by Bill Clark, our very own Bill Clark, that is, and Coach and Force Steakhouse. You can find them on Pine Forest Road, right across the street from Five Flags Speedway.
Hi, I'm Bill Clark, host of War Eagle Weekly here on ESPN Radio. Now that college football regular season has come to a close, tune into War Eagle Weekly Thursdays from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. for the latest on Auburn basketball, as well as other Tiger sports-related news and analysis. My co-host, Austin Price, and I will bring you up to date on the latest Auburn basketball results and preview upcoming games. Tune into War Eagle Weekly every Thursday, 10 to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola. War Eagle.
Hi, I'm Rachel with Coachman Ford Steakhouse. For 45 years, we've been an owned and operated three-generation family business. We welcome every guest that walks through our doors as an old friend. We're open from 5 to 9 on Wednesday and Thursday, and from 4:30 to 10 on Fridays and Saturdays. Saddle up to our bar and get a half-pound burger with fries and a beer for just $11.95 every day before 6:30. This offer is only available in the bar and cannot be combined with any other coupons, discounts, or specials. Coachman Ford Steakhouse on Pine Forest Road across the street from the Speedway.
Man, I loved playing high school sports growing up. And it's fun being a fan now, don't get me wrong, but sitting in the stands feels like I'm missing out on all the action, you know? I wanted to get back in the game, so I signed up to be a high school official. It takes me back to my playing days. I'm supporting students, and I get paid to make the big calls. Do you want to see the game up close? Sign up to become an official in Florida at highschoolofficials.com.
Our mission at the UWF Historic Trust is to collect, preserve, interpret, and share the rich history of Northwest Florida. With more than 30 properties spread out over 9 acres, we bring the history of our region to life. Whether you're enjoying events at the Museum of Commerce, afternoons at the Children's Museum, reenactments at the Historic Village on Zaragoza Street, or day trips to Arcadia Mill, the UWF Historic Trust is the cultural destination host of Northwest Florida. Learn more at historicpensacola.org.
Adam Schefter here with Vivid Seats. We've got some late-breaking news coming out of the stands. According to multiple sources, Vivid Seats fans are scoring rewards on every purchase and at a rapid pace. Obviously, these rewards are a game-changer, and coupled with their MVP-worthy ticket selection, why get tickets anywhere else? Don't drop the ball this season. Shop with Vivid Seats and earn rewards on every ticket. And as the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code Schefter. That's code Schefter.
Everyone deserves to live a full life, beginning with a nourishing meal. However, right here in our local Gulf Coast community, 1 in 6 individuals, including 1 in 4 children, face hunger. Feeding the Gulf Coast works with more than 800 community partners across 24 counties along the Florida Panhandle and throughout South Alabama and South Mississippi to help connect individuals with the food they need to thrive. Would you stand alongside us to turn hunger into hope for those who need it most? To get involved or find a food pantry near you, visit feedingthegulfcoast.org.
Calling all sports fanatics in Pensacola. Brace yourselves for the ultimate sports talk experience. Tune in to Greeny with Mike Greenberg, exclusively on ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM, 99.1 FM. Weekdays from 9 to 11, Greeny brings you the most insightful analysis from the NFL to the NBA, Major League Baseball to college sports. Greeny dives deep into the stories that matter most with his unique perspective and unparalleled passion. He keeps you hooked from start to finish. Tune in to Greeny on ESPN Pensacola and fuel your sports obsession. It's a home run of a show.
Unsportsmanlike. 5 to 9, right before the Glass Half Full with Jordan Glass on ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM, 99.1 FM.
It's War Eagle Weekly every Thursday from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola. You can find us on 99.1 FM, 1330 a.m. or on your ESPN Pensacola mobile app. And all episodes of War Eagle Weekly are on our local podcast page at ESPNPensacola.com. Austin Price and Bill Clark here in the studio with you. Speaking of Bill Clark, he is our other show sponsor. Thank you very much, sir, for that. Bill, when we left off, we were talking about some of these big games that we've got in both the college football scene and with Auburn men's basketball. We'll go ahead and crank out the college football scores here because there's just two games today. Number 7, Notre Dame. Number 2, Georgia, postponed after the very unfortunate terrorist attack that took place in New Orleans yesterday morning. Getting underway at 3 o'clock this afternoon. Georgia, the underdog officially because they do not have their starting QB. Notre Dame favored by 1. Do you think the Irish get it done?
No, I'm going to stick with the same prediction I made last week that Georgia is going to win the game. It's going to be a close game. I see it being less than 7 points.
I see it being about a touchdown.
Yeah, yeah. I've got like 27-24.
I had a weird score earlier this week, 25-18. And that's
not bad.
That's what I'm going with. I think it's going to be I've described this game as one that I think old heads are going to love. You know, very physical. I don't know if Notre Dame has faced a team with the physicality of Georgia all year. I think Gunnar Stockton, we're going to see his limits as a quarterback, but I don't know if it's going to be enough to lose to Notre Dame your first game out in the bracket. Just don't know about that. So I'll take Georgia by a touchdown.
He's got better wheels than Beck did.
Yeah.
But he's not as good a thrower as Beck was. So I think there's going to be a little bit of a trade-off. You're going to see more in the ground game.
Yeah. As I said, very physical ball, playing a lot of short game. All right. And then we've got a game that I don't think is going to be as entertaining. Duke and Ole Miss in the Gator Bowl. Both teams are 9-3, but, man, they could not be more different, especially entering this game. Ole Miss is top 15, Duke unranked. Ole Miss has Jackson Dart. Duke does not have Malik Murphy. The Rebels favored by 17.5.
Oh, I think they're going to cover that.
I don't think they cover, but I do. I mean, they're going to win. Yeah.
Well, I mean, Duke has lost a couple of players to the transfer portal, Malik being the big one. Ole Miss managed to keep everybody pretty much intact. And Jackson Dart, if he's on, Ole Miss is capable of throwing a lot of points up on the scoreboard real quick.
That's what has Ole Miss being favored by this much. They already had a sizable quarterback gap. And now with Duke having to reach down a bit with Murphy out and Jackson sticking around, I applaud him for that. Didn't have to play this game. I'm glad that he did. That's a big save for Ole Miss. All right. Auburn basketball facing Missouri on Saturday, January 4th. We talked about those physical defenses. I think Auburn's offense kind of shines here. I've got y'all putting up 84. I have you winning 84-73.
I'm thinking more like 88-70.
Wow, really?
Yeah.
So you have them scoring even more and holding Mizzou to even less.
Yes. Wow.
Either way, we have it being a statement win, double-digit win, against a respectable Missouri team. And then on Tuesday, January 7th, you go to Austin, Texas, take on the Longhorns. I've got y'all winning this one by significantly more. 88-66 is the score I've got here.
I like that prediction, 88-66. I think Auburn's going to be capable of scoring about 86 to 88 points in both games. Missouri having the better defense, it's going to be a little closer, but I like that. I like that prediction. 88-66.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that.
I just think Texas is going to be out of their element here. As I said, they've been out of their element before this season. I can't really say Missouri has. As I said, they have just looked more competitive even in their losses against bigger opposition. So I'm giving Missouri, as you mentioned, you know, giving them more of a benefit of the doubt with the physicality of that defense and everything, but they still lose convincingly, and Texas loses bad.
Oh, I agree. it's going to be fun to watch, though.
Yeah.
Looking forward to the rest of the season.
Yeah, when we return, Auburn could be, what would it be, 14-1 on the season? Not too shabby of a start.
And arguably number one.
Yes, I think you already should be. You're listening to War Eagle Weekly every Thursday morning from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola, brought to you by Coach and Four Steakhouse and Bill Clark. We will see you this time next week.
You're listening to ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM, 99.1 FM. All sports, all the time. WEBY, Milton, Pensacola.